Excuse me. Have you got a minute or two? I'd just like to share a little bit of today's events with you, as I am wont to do. It's Saturday, and my MacBook died today. Well, not the MacBook, but the hard drive. Now, I know lots of you out there, you techies, have had experiences like this before, if not complete, you know, death throes of a hard drive, maybe some near misses, but mine died. Absolutely dead. Scary, it froze, it's never frozen before. Now, this is a happy story, so I don't want the rest of you saying, oh no, I can't listen to that, this is too sad. Because here I am, sitting on my deck, same day, with a brand new hard drive installed, and most of my files, not as many as there should have been, but most of my important files backed up. Foolishly, I didn't back up post-PAB, so I'm behind at about 3 weeks. So you'd say 3 weeks worth of fiddling and works and numbers sort of gone missing, but that's not too bad. It could have been a lot worse. So I am busy now catching up and installing all the things that, you know, take so long to do. But, you know, it's just funny. Everything that happens to me, it bounces off, because you always know how much worse it could be. Damn, if this had happened when I was on my tour with my students a month from now, what a drag. But instead, died this morning right away. I thought, oop, better get this to a Mac dealer soon. Got online with my other Mac, of course. Booked a 1 o'clock appointment at the Genius Bar at, York Mills Shopping Center, Yorkdale. And was there in time, and they looked at it. Oh, that's dead. Extended warranty? Yes, of course, we'll put another one in free. They did that. And while I was there, I've been wanting to get Bento, right? This FileMaker program. I've convinced myself that all my work is going to be so much better organized if I have Bento. $49 software, but it only works with Leopard. Now, I'm thinking, I've got to reinstall all my software anyway, and the updates and all that crap. Why don't today I take the plunge and buy Leopard? So I did. So I have a whole new operating system, a brand new hard drive, all the crap cleaned out, and up until about 3 weeks ago, all my photos, all my music, everything backed up the way you're supposed to. So really, you know, it's quite a happy story. Yeah, I just thought I'd share that with you. Hello. Yeah. This is the Scarborough Dude talking to you on his nifty big white ball. This snowball mic I won at PAB out here on my deck on June 30th. This is sort of the evening before Canada Day. It's 8:15 at night. It's a lovely evening. Cool breeze. I hope you can hear a little bit of the wind in the background. And I just thought I'd take advantage of this time, while you and I are alone, to start slapping together yet another podcast. It's Canada Day, you know, it's coming up. It's usually a big deal for me, but I don't have anything special planned. I'm so far behind in my work that I was thinking I was just going to go into the office and work, and then maybe that evening have a drink or two, but oh, I don't know. I should really go to a movie with my son. That would be an even better idea. So we might do that. My wife has to work. Anyway, that's tomorrow. Right now, it's tonight, and it's now, and it's here. And Ross, my good friend Ross, you're a good friend too, I'm sure, has told me on more than one occasion to get my nose out of the news and start telling some old stories. So I think that's what I'm going to do. This is actually for Ross, but anybody else is welcome to listen. And it's my railway days. I am very lucky. It's a huge part of my life that it seems so long ago now, but I got my first job at the railway, Canadian National, as it was back then, in 1967, office clerk. And then just carried on summers working at a Point St. Charles. I've mentioned that before, and I just can't tell you what a rich experience that was. Beautiful. Working in the yards, getting good physical, hard labor, but meeting this range of characters. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. I moved west in 72, left Montreal, got on that train, as a matter of fact. This is about trains. Got on the CN train out of Montreal and headed all the way across to Vancouver. 3-day trip, and really was, as I've mentioned before, drunk before we left the island of Montreal. Wonderful time. I'd gone out with Reginald, my first friend to ever come out of the closet and own up to being gay, which I'm still grateful to him for, because he introduced us to a whole new and interesting world in Vancouver. The whole gay community back then was new stuff to us, you know, these suburban kids. It was a wild scene, and it was open and fun. And his sister, who during the course of that trip, she and I always had something going, but we ended up sort of as partners in the course of that 3-day journey across the country, and moved in together as soon as we reached Vancouver. And so that was a whole new chapter. That was a pretty wild time. Those are some interesting days I don't really have time to get into now. Those are days I used to look back on and think, oh my God, I just wasted the 70s. I was wasted in the 70s, but if I really look closely, God damn it, I had a hell of a lot of fun. An awful lot of partying and nothing taken too seriously, and some mix-ups in there. In the middle of that, I was off to Mexico for those adventures. Had great jobs working with the mentally handicapped people. I managed a sheltered workshop for a while. Did lots of other stuff. Wasn't just being drunk for 8 years, but really got to know and enjoy life on the West Coast, the Left Coast, Vancouver. Am I deviating a little from my story? I think so. So, time to get a job, and I had many, many, many different jobs. I couldn't even begin to list them here, but as I've said before in this podcast, I'm sure I've had well over 50 jobs in the course of my life, and that's probably a very conservative estimate. But one of the jobs I got was as a sleeping car porter on the Transcontinental train, Vancouver to Winnipeg and back. You didn't do the whole country. They changed crews at Winnipeg, and that's when you headed on back. So you worked, you know, a pretty steady round, and then you were off for as long as they had to. Now, unfortunately, the summer I got hired on was also the summer that Canadian National went on strike, and it might have been 74. Yeah, I'm guessing it was 1974. But I got, not before I got a few trips out anyway, and did the training. There was two classes. You could be a waiter, and I knew there's no way I could be a waiter. Or you could get to be the sleeping car porter, and you had one whole coach to yourself, complete with, you know, a big master bedroom, roomettes, the beds that pull down from the ceiling, you know. And that was your job, to set up all the beds and keep everything running, and you were totally in charge of this car. And, you know, you had your own special porter's key to get into the electric panel and turn the lights off. And, oh, it was fun. It was exciting. It was neat stuff. The beauty of it, of being up, staying up all night, and sitting in the dining car with the conductor and some other porters or whoever was just up, and listening to their stories as the train wound its way along the Fraser Canyon, through the Rocky Mountains, heading up into the prairies and on its way to Winnipeg. That was exciting. You had a neat little uniform, that little porter's hat, a little monkey red jacket. By the way, that jacket I kept for the longest time. God, I don't know what happened. It was really neat. It was just a little jacket. You wore black pants, black shoes, and this little red jacket. And I took to wearing it as a fashion statement. I wore it all the way down to San Francisco one trip. Thought, this is kind of cool, a porter's jacket. Not too many of these out on the street. Lost my hat the first day out. Stuck my head out the window as we were winding through, just leaving Vancouver. And, God, we weren't 20 miles out, and my hat just blew away, and that was that. Wasn't a hard job, but you know, you had to be competent. And there's a heavy drinking problem in the railway. So we had our training by a man called King Black. And he basically taught us, yes, you guessed it, he was black. and taught us how to get tips and do the right things. And, you polish shoes at night, people. It was a tradition. You leave your shoes out and the porter would polish them for you. And you'd hope you get decent tips in the end. And sometimes you did and sometimes you didn't. But it really didn't matter all that much. It was just exciting being on that train. Now, what happened? I'd gone out training, passed, got on my first trip, and there was another porter, and he was an older man, had been through the Russian front in World War II, German fellow, real character, and that poor guy, he was a drinker, and I think he got on the train drunk, as many of the people did, and just couldn't. I remember him reaching up. You've got this big key, and you reach up into the ceiling of the dining car, of the bedroom car, to pull the bunk bed down from the top. And he reached up, took a real twist at it, pulled with all his might, and of course the key had missed the hole completely, and he was flat on his back on the floor. And I really felt for the poor guy, and so I helped him. He was behind, and I helped him get all his beds ready, and just because he was a man who had gone through hard times and was living out his last years as a porter. Anyway, so the trips when you went out as on a regular run, that was terrific. Now, the other thing they did for you, you had to come by as a standby. You had to take your turns showing up at the railway station in Vancouver. Those of you in Vancouver know where it is. You had to show up full uniform, ready to go out at a moment's notice because of the fact that many crew members just got drunk and missed the train. No exaggeration. So you always needed a standby porter. And I remember going out once. Actually, I was supposed to be going out on a trip. And the station master called me in, said, "Turn around." I turned around. My hair was touching my collar of my white shirt. He said, "Go home, get a haircut, you're off." And that was that. Lost a trip. Now, I have the feeling there were fewer drunks that day, and he didn't really need me, and this was a good excuse. But they had very, very strict rules on appearance, and they could do that. But the other time I went out there, as a standby porter, I figured it's an hour's work. You just get out to the platform, you're dressed up, you help load the train, get all the food and supplies on, and everybody makes it on board, and you're fine. You go back home. Except on this occasion, the pantry man didn't show up. Now, the pantry man is the lowest man on the totem pole. He's the guy who swabs the deck, the guy who cleans the floors in the kitchen after everything is done at night. You lift up the floorboards and you mop it down. He's the guy who cleans all the dishes after all the meals. You think of breakfast, how many people eat breakfast and all those dirty plates with eggs and everything on them, and you've got these machines for cleaning the glass. You have to have both hands going on two different machines, full speed, full tilt, all the time, just to get through, just to keep up, to get the plates ready for the next meal. Now, I didn't know that before. I just stood there on the platform, and the guy said, "Hey, Bull, you're up. You're pantry man." And I just said, look, big smile on my face. "Oh, no, sorry, I wasn't trained for that. I don't know how to do that." "No problem. They'll teach you." And that was that. Just enough time to call my girlfriend and say, "I'm not going to be home for a few days. I got to go out to Winnipeg." And hop on that train, and man, was that a nasty job. Again, another experience I wouldn't have traded anything for when I think back on it, because it seems like, wow, did I do that? What lifetime was that in? Because I guess now, if I'm talking 74 and it's 89 now, you do the math. That's 35 years ago. Holy shit, eh? Anyway, I got on that train, I managed, I did it, and I cursed, this shit, I'm never going to make the trip back. I was ready to jump the train. I figured, okay, I'll get to Winnipeg, and then I'll just take a bus back or whatever. There's no way I'm going back on that train. It's a tough and dirty job. Now, what happened, and those of you who have maybe heard this story before will guess, yes, indeed, the Scarborough dude went into the bar right next door to the railway station in Winnipeg. Can't remember what it's called. Great big bar where everybody drank. And, as soon as we arrived, I don't know if it was day, night, whatever time, went in there and drank and drank and drank draft beer. Like, I was just so wrecked, I figured that was it. And so got thoroughly drunk. And drunk enough to realize, no, I don't have money for a bus home. I'm going to have to get back on that train, but it probably won't work. I'm just going to pass out in some room. They won't find me, you know. So I walked through the station in my uniform, carrying a glass of beer in my hand, walking through the main station, and people couldn't believe it. Holy shit, there's a guy in full uniform heading for the train. He's got a beer in his hand. He's just staggering through. This is one of my prouder moments, folks, because I don't think there's too many others who've done that. Gotten the train drunk, sure, but have been stupid enough to walk out of the hotel with a beer in your hand and walk right into the train station, full view of everyone. Anyway, I didn't know any better. I got on that train and offered to help load it up. And they took me and said, no, folks, you're already loaded. Just get in there and get some sleep. Sent me back to my bunk and slept it off. And then I guess I was awoken the next morning for time to get up and start washing dishes, boy. And I woke up still very drunk, reached into my bag for, you know, just to put a face on, shave, reached in, picked up my razor blade by the hand, you know, with my hand right over the blade and cut my hand, all this shit. And I had nothing to do, nothing to stop the bleeding, nothing but to head on into that kitchen and get to work. And suffered just as much, if not more, on the whole trip back. But I look back at that now, and God damn it, am I ever glad I just lived the life I've lived. And I feel bad saying that, like, you know, because, well, whatever. I mean, that's what I wanted. That was my plan. I can look back now to get, you know, gee, as the conversation came up at dinner time, as it often does, you know, we're not going to have much when it comes to retirement. But I can look back and think, yeah, but I've had a full, rich life, and I'll deal with retirement when it comes. So anyway, there you go. It was a lot of fun, and thanks, Ross, for encouraging me. Hope you enjoyed that. I don't know, maybe I left out some key parts. I was into it. I was picturing, like, as I told that story, man, oh man, I could see the scenes exactly. I mean, I was looking at myself during that time. And that was the end of my time as a sleeping car porter. And the next summer, of course, you've heard about that. That's when I went up to Prince George and got a job on a tie gang at a Prince George, working our way north through the swamps. But I'll save that for another time, okay? Take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Can't buy a thrill. Up all night, leaning on the windowsill. Well, if I die on top of the hill, and if I don't make it, you know my baby will. Don't the moon through the trees, don't a brakeman look good, Mama, flagging down the double E? Don't the sun look good going down over the sea? But don't my gal look fine when she's coming in? Time is coming.
The windows are filled with frost. I went to tell everybody, but I could not get across. Well, I wanna be your lover, baby. I don't wanna be your boss. Don't say I never warned you when your train gets lost.
Well, good morning, and happy Canada Day to you. It is around 8:30, Saturday, no, not Saturday, July 1st, feels like Saturday, a holiday, and I decided I wasn't going to go into the office after all. What the hell, it's a beautiful day. It'd be crazy to be sitting in that dark basement. As much as I love it, that's a working place, and I may as well stay home. My wife has gone into work. And I've set up a little spot here in the garden. I love to work outside, but on the deck it's bright, the sun is shining. I've got a big round table, and I've put up, you know, the umbrella. But I have these light-sensitive glasses, so they turn to, like, very dark sunglasses when I get outside. It's very hard to see the computer screen. So what I've done, I've set up an auxiliary table, nice little round glass one, on a little spot in the garden on some tiles we laid down many years ago when we used to do things. So I'm actually sitting in the garden, and it's quite nice. I'm looking around. My wife has done an amazing job. There was nothing here, and over the years, it's a wild garden, and there's beautiful yellow flowers everywhere. I just love yellow. In fact, yesterday, I always plant a yellow rose bush for my mother. She loved yellow roses, and I think it's because her father, who went through some very hard times, he was a World War I vet, and in his later years lost his leg to gangrene, and he was somebody I was very close to, and very similar to in a lot of ways. He was a dreamer, he was a romantic. He never quite found himself as far as work went. After he came back from the war, came back to Canada. I think I've told you that story before. He started off in Vancouver Island on a nice little farm and was going to do quite well. You know, early 1900s, that's where my aunt was born. And then World War I came back to England and then pretty well lost everything. And started a new life in Montreal. But here I am because that's where he met my mother, etc., etc., etc. I mean, my mother met my father. Anyway, that's a little sidetrack. Ah, the yellow roses, yeah. So I always plant yellow roses in the garden in honor of my mother, and often they don't bloom, but this year they're just two beautiful big roses came out, which my wife picked, and are now in our living room, and they smell just so beautifully. Anyway, it's a nice little corner of the garden in the shade, and here I am talking to you, and I guess our theme today is, yeah, is it family? It's not going to be about Canada, what the hell? You know, by the time you listen to this, it's not Canada Day. Some of you aren't Canadian, and we've been there, done that. Not interested. Family, though. Yeah. Well, I guess it's related. My son wants to have another party. Remember, Victoria Day had a party here, and I was seeing how good it felt. You know, we laid on some food and burgers and drinks, and a bunch of his friends came over. They let off fireworks. Well, he just up and decided he wanted to do the same thing, Canada Day, and I could have just gone along with it, should have just gone along with it, but instead got caught up in that trap of, you know, I'm not spending all that money, I'm not buying you fireworks, sort of holding it out over him that, listen, you're 18, you haven't got a summer job yet, you're expecting your dad to buy fireworks and feed your friends, and I'm not going to do it. And it was kind of a stupid fight to get. I was in a bad mood because I guess the night before, he phoned me at 12:30 to see if I was still up. Boy, this is, folks, hang on for the ride because we're gonna head down a few back alleys on this one. Called to see if I was up. Now, I always tell the message to both kids, call me anytime, day or night, you need a ride. That's a standard message these days. You don't want people walking the streets of Scarborough because people get hurt on the streets of Scarborough late at night. And unfortunately, there's a little stretch of road between where the Eglinton GO station is and our home. And it passes by three or four apartment buildings, which are subsidized housing. And anybody knows the big city knows that sometimes in the subsidized housing, you get some bad actors hanging out. And it's kind of a creepy place, and it's the only place that I walk by really quickly when I'm coming home drunk late at night. Because I'm creeped out, and when I see guys hanging out there, or I don't feel too good. Now, I always tell myself, listen, they're not stupid enough to do anything in front of their own damn building. But, you know, you've had walks with me before, I'm creeped out. And I don't like my son walking that stretch of road either, so I'm always saying, hey, if you're late, call. Well, he called me. Woke me up. He was going to take a different route. He didn't want to walk that route, and he was still way down at Warden Station. It was too far for me to go and get him, so he took a different route. Anyway, he woke me with a phone call. Then I couldn't get back to sleep because I was worried about him. And then when he came in, he's hungry. He's an 18-year-old. He has to raid the fridge, and you think, okay, that's good. But he makes so damn much noise, and I couldn't sleep. So I was cranky and tired the next day when he announced to me in front of a female friend who was sitting in our kitchen, Dad, I'm having a party tomorrow. And I didn't like that. And he insisted he had already told me a week ago, and I argued he hadn't. And that anyway, I wasn't sponsoring it, and blah, blah, blah. The underlying feeling is I'm getting a little pressure, I guess, from my wife that, you know, sort of like it's a father's job to bring up the sons in such a way that they have to be responsible and have summer jobs and so on. And I guess I failed in that respect to some degree. He says I just yell at him to tell him to get a job rather than help him. Or why don't I get him a job? Or why don't I have a better job? And if we weren't so damn poor, we wouldn't have all these problems. And suddenly, it's all my fault. And I don't take kindly to that. I get very upset myself. And I think, what a nerve for you to turn around. Me, who is feeding you and keeping you sheltered and paying for your university next year, you're turning around and finding fault with me? And yes, he is, and unfortunately, to some degree, he's right. And I guess the bigger problem is we're very similar. We're very, very similar. And the faults that I see in him that I get angry about are exactly the faults, if they are faults, that I have in my own character. Sort of a dreamer that, yeah, things will work out for the best and don't worry about it. And if I could just sort of, if I could just let him go and let it all flow and let it be, maybe everything would be okay. But instead, I start to ride him and then he gets angry and it gets into a shouting match and I'm the cause of all his problems and, oh my God, it's awful. And here I am the next day thinking, okay, yeah, it's a good idea. Sure, I don't mind having his friends over. So I guess I'm either going to completely reverse my decision, in which case, well, what kind of a father is that? But it's better than digging in your heels and not allowing this to happen. But now I got to go out and buy stuff, and I guess it makes me look like even more of a jerk or too much of a softy, or I don't know. I just wish I could get it straight. I just wish I knew a better way, a more honest way. The way I preach about friendships and how to be and how to interact with people, I wish I could apply the same rules to my own family, but somehow when it's your own family, you're feeling responsible. I'm not fucking responsible to my friends, and I'm not fucking responsible to you, my listeners. Fuck you. But you can't do that to your family, can you? So you're just carrying this burden, and you're constantly fighting against things that you shouldn't be, but it's so hard not to. So it's left me in a bit of a mess, and that's what I wanted to tell you. And there I've told you, and now I'm going to stop for a couple of minutes and reflect on what I've just said. Yeah, I'll be back. Yeah, I did want to add one note to that. Hang on. Yeah, one of the complaints my son has is that I only see the negative. I never compliment him on what he's done well. I never say the good things. I only focus on what he has not done. And I think it's true. And yet, I don't know how else to handle it. For example, well, my wife gave him a lead on a job, and he was just really slow about going to do it. Then finally he goes down and drops off an application. Well, I've been telling him it's not enough to drop off an application. Everybody does. You gotta find out who's doing the hiring. You gotta call them. You gotta meet with them face to face. And so he's pissed because I don't congratulate him for dropping off an application. Well, I'm thinking, of course I'm not going to congratulate you. So what? That's not going to get you the job. And of course, that just starts everything going. I'm only focusing on the negative. Another example, he gave me this wonderful painting he had done of John and Yoko from one of their albums. It's not finished. It was a final school project. It was not finished in time, and yet he's doing all these other things, but it didn't get finished, so I can only see an unfinished painting. Yeah, it's a nice gift, but I'd like it more if it was actually finished. And from his point of view, I'm only focusing on what's not done and not what is done. You know, the glass half full, the glass half empty. We're both right. He's painted a door at school. The teachers love it. I mean, one of the projects, you know, final students get to do at this school for the arts is paint whole classroom doors. It's wonderful. And he did an amazing job of that picture of the screen with himself looking like him screaming in the center of it. And all around is some teachers' faces. Well, there's about 5 blank spots where he hasn't got around to painting the faces of the teachers. Well, the school year's finished. And he's thinking, well, I can come back next year. Well, next year, he's in university, which he's now telling me he doesn't know if he's really ready for. And he's probably not. He missed an appointment yesterday for some counseling. And I'm saying, yeah, but I've been telling you for years, learn how to use this, you know, iCal or something on your computer. You love using the Mac. I'm getting you one for university, or I'm going to pass one of my old ones on to you, something. I don't think we're going to buy a new one anymore. He's saying, I don't work that way. And I'm saying, but you have to. You got to get courses. You got to get assignments in on time. You have to teach yourself. Dad, you don't understand me. I don't work that way. And again, we're both right from my point of view. If he had had this reminder, like me, you can synchronize it with your phone. Phone rings. Oh, yeah, in an hour, I got to go and meet so-and-so. Well, he's telling me, I'm not a businessman. I don't work that way. And it's true. He's an artist, and he's a very, very talented artist, and I'm perhaps trying to shape him into something. And as an 18-year-old struggling to find his own identity, he's fighting back with everything he's got, tooth and nail. It's just one of those things, I guess, when people talk about parenting. They say, hey man, it's going to give you gray hairs. We're not talking about those cute younger years. We're talking about the teen years. It's a constant battle. In the end, it's all good, I hope. And things get resolved. And I can picture, I have the feeling, the strange feeling, he's going to be living in this house with me for a very long time. Anyway, there's a perspective. I'd be happy to hear your comments, thoughts, views, perspectives on that. But that's what you're getting today from the Scarborough Dude. Take care. Have a good holiday if it's a holiday for you, eh? Bye-bye.
All through the day, I'm in mine, I'm in mine, I'm in mine. All through the night, I'm in mine, I'm in mine, I'm in mine. Now the frightened are leaving it, everyone's weaving it, coming on strong all the time. All through the day, I'm in mine.
Just one more short clip from that same Canada Day, 141 years old this year, Quebec 400 BC, province of British Columbia, in Confederation 150 years. I'm sitting outside the 401 Morningside Cineplex, a favorite theater because it's cheap, and it's not even cheaper, I guess it's $5. It's Tuesday, and I'm about to see Get a Smart. I grew up with the show, I loved it. Just plain funny and silly and good stuff. I don't know what to expect of this, but I think I'm going to enjoy it. I left number two son, who I've been asking the past 3 days to go to the movie with me, and he's, you know, it's always been an excuse. No, it's too early or it's too late or something, and the reality is I think he wants to go with his friends, and I'm accepting of that. So tonight, it's almost nailed it down. Okay, 6:30, early supper, and then we'll go to the movie. And he wasn't sure about the plans, and so Pop takes the hint. Okay, that's fine. I can go alone. And he's going off to see another movie with his friends, and that's good. That's the way it should be. Number one, son, I gave in, and I went out this morning and bought a dozen hamburgers, buns, 3 bags of chips, popcorn, 2 dozen pop, lots of crap. For him and his friends, if they decide to stay there, he insisted on borrowing $20. Now, he can borrow, but he has no way of repaying, unless he borrows. Although, you know, I'm in a very similar situation myself, damn it. Ooh, I gotta watch that. That aside, so he's at home now, and we've made up, you know, thanks, Dad, and, you know, but we refused to give in to get the fireworks. He really begged and got angry, and he swears, you know, he's pretty damn rude. I know it's a stage, and I can live with it. I'm not upset too much about it. But the thing is, you know, he wanted his way. He wanted to have them, and we couldn't give a good excuse enough. And my excuse, just sorry, sometimes we say no. You know, you'll learn that when you're a parent. Just saying no. Which sounds weak, but you have to draw a line sometimes. Hey, I got your food. I don't mind buying food. If you don't eat it tonight, great, we can use it. But I'm not throwing in another $20 for more fireworks. So anyway, that's that. Okay, I'm going to go in and get a good seat, see my movie, and enjoy the rest of Canada Day while the whole family, mine, goes in four separate ways, as we do. Bye now. It's 9:30 and I'm just out of the movie Canada Day, and as you know, I don't do movie reviews. I don't get them anyway. I wouldn't know how to do one. I just tell you when I like a movie, and I liked Get Smart. It was just the right thing for me. I was just in the right headspace. You know, it's interesting. I love Broca's Area. I love Dave and Isabel. I think that's another great, great quality show that... It's part of the community, but the people who get these things get these things. Like, I was hooked from the start of the show, except it's about Cambodia, and just the name depresses me. It saddens me. And Dave, I knew they'd have to go over some of the facts, and could hear Isabel saying, I don't want to get into the details. And Dave started off with the rip-roaring start, of course. There were, you know, beginning of the show, there's 50 naked Isabels. Anyway. I sidetracked again here. I just couldn't deal with the reality of the world, and I listened to another one recommended by Ear Ideas. Seymour Hersh, I guess, wrote an article. It's in the New York Times, and so he was being interviewed. You could find that if you went to Ear Ideas and subscribe to their Wednesday picks. Check that out from Montreal. Great, great stuff. But that also depressed me. Hearing about what this Bush administration really has planned for causing turmoil in Iran, and seemingly without a plan. Ooh, you think about the world, and it's just too scary and too horrible, and too many bad things happen in real life. And when I sat inside that theater, realizing I'm in such a cozy, comfortable, safe cocoon here with my life in Canada, it really, really, really upset me. So, the perfect antidote was just to go and see a movie that made me laugh and laugh and laugh. And the audience laughed too, and that was just terrific. So that was Get Smart. Recommended if you're in for some laughs. I think it's especially fun. I think Steve Carell did an excellent job. He just pulled it off just right. And if you remember the original show, there's a few extra chuckles in there for you. But anyway, that, I'm going to park, and I guess I'll head back home. Yeah, it's bedtime. I don't really want to face my son's party, but it's a working day tomorrow, and what was I talking about? I was talking about Dave. Oh, something else. Oh, yeah, watching the trailers for the movie. I realized again how much podcasting means to me. And that's something that always scares me. Now, I haven't talked about this for probably 100 shows. Now, if I can say 100 shows back, folks, that's a lot of podcasts. This is number 159. Each one an hour, every week out there. You don't need to listen, but I need to speak. I need to unload. I need to share what's in me. And that always disturbs me just a little bit. Like, why have I created another need, you know, in my life? You know how you want to eliminate needs? This is like a drug. It's another thing I need to do. I hope it's worth it for you. I do hear great things from lots of people out there who tell me they listen,
and it means something, and that does give it meaning back to me and make me want to keep doing it, but I am afraid I'm a little dependent on it. I'm also... But you see, it can't be bad. You know, you're checking Talking Stick out, and suddenly there's yet another community within this community that is open to one and all, and happy to say Andrea's an active participant, not to single somebody out, but, and Vivian out there, who, you know, I just learned a lot about from the introduction. So again, I go back to Todd, you started something. I listened to QN again the other day. I have not listened for a long time, and of course it was another brilliant show, and so there's just so much going on, all these names I'm giving you. It's such an alive and fantastic and creative and intelligent and good community. How could you not care? How could you not want to be involved? Oh yeah. So I'm going to leave it there. I mean, I guess I'm sort of... Something tells me there must be something wrong with this. It's too good, and I'm trying to tell you and tell myself there ain't nothing wrong. It's all good. So those of you listening, thank you. Those of you podcasting, keep them coming. And let's just keep, you know, meeting each other and greeting each other and being friends. Bye-bye. Good morning. It's Saturday, July 5th. Hope all our friends south of the border had a great day yesterday. Big celebration. You deserve it. There's hope for your future. But work on it. A couple of things as this podcast winds to an end. First off, I'm not going to mention any names, but I have been corrected. And I'd like to come clear about that right now. No ifs, ands, or buts. There is no A-plus list. And my apologies to anybody who might have been offended by that. Apologies to Chris Brogan, first name I came up with, Neil Gorman. You folks are not on the A-plus list because I have been informed it does not exist. Furthermore, and more to the point, I am on the A-list. I talked about that last time, how excited I was coming from an unknown 3 years ago, a guy who called into the Bob and AJ comment line, you know, and next thing you know, I got a podcast and a persona And I'm speaking at events, and I felt really excited. I felt that it's like I had something in my life that I was doing well, and I could see progress. All my friends who are non-believers who think podcasting is a bunch of wankers hiding out in the basement, I could show them. That was very arrogant of me, and just reflected foolish pride. And I do apologize now. As I said, I have been told I am on the A-list, but so is everybody else. Okay? Just so we're clear on that, and there's no hard feelings, and it's far be it from me to be divisive within this community and try and get people to pick sides or take a stand on an issue or something. Now, this doesn't apply to Americans, as far as I know. I think this is only a Canadian thing. But as it stands, all Canadian podcasters are on the A list, okay? And there is no A plus list. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I apologize. That's it. I there's really not a whole lot more to say. Moving on, my toys. You know, I talked about that TomTom I got quite a while ago, the one that's on the dashboard of my PT Cruiser. It's a neat little device, and seriously, I love it. I have to have host families, and so I'm always looking for, trying to find addresses here in Scarborough and around Toronto, places I've never been before, little suburban side streets. And all you do is tap in that address, and you tap in the first three letters of a street, and it's going to come up with the street name. Oh, good. Yeah, that's it. Tap. And then you type in the numbers. Boom. And then it instantly calculates the route for you. But better than that, it tells you what time you're going to get there if you're leaving now. You know, the time to get there. And I love that feature. So you know if you're running late, you can just tap the screen. Tap in a phone number and call them. Hey, I'm running a little late. It really works well. If you're interested, contact me. I'll tell you the model number and everything else. But it was a great buy. I got it on good advice. And I'm delighted. As I say, it works perfectly with my Motorola Razr phone. It does not work with all phones. So you want to be careful. But there's no point in getting one if it's not going to sync with your phone. Because that's just the bonus part. Next on the toy list, I've decided against buying an H2. I saw them in action. They're neat. Hell of a lot bigger than my little iRiver, which is still holding out, although the FM radio died on it. But it doesn't have a pause button. And that would drive me nuts in time. I would just not be satisfied. And for that feature alone, I am not interested in getting the H2. Now, of course, that's also on top of the fact that I won this wonderful little snowball mic that I'm talking into now. It's just so cool looking. I love it. Sitting on my desk. I'm sitting out in the backyard again now on a little patio table, and it just looks cool. And then, of course, Adam gave me a replacement for my third neck stick mic, the ones that Bruce Murray recommended. Ow. My third one. And that's doing me fine. So as long as the iRiver holds up, that's all I need. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay, that's it for technology. Hang on. Damn it. I hate ants. I had some bad experiences in Africa with ants. On more than one occasion. Creeped me right out. They always have. God damn it. Right where I've set my table up, these are the little tiny ones. An anthill of some kind. And I went at them. I had a dishcloth and just smacked the hell out of it. Got rid of 100. And hundreds more came pouring out. Ah, god damn. Ugh, by the millions. Right here where I am on this patio. I'm a little bit nervous. Our house seems to be surrounded by anthills. I suspect this was an ancient Indian burial ground. There's one just up the road from us, and I have the feeling there's a lot of corpses. I think there was a stream ran through here. It was farmland, and I don't know what's under where I'm sitting right now, but I have my fears. Now, the ants have invaded all species. We get some of them in the house. We're trying to keep them out. That's not too bad. But the ground is almost spongy where you walk. And you'll see huge anthills, and they've just taken over. And I have the feeling, I don't know, they're just eating their way under our house. And when the day comes for me to sell, this is my retirement package, you know, this house. And I'm afraid when the day comes to sell, the house is just going to collapse in on itself. God, Jesus, these buggers, eh? It's sort of, oh, never mind. Had that talk, who was it? About how, as a species, it's just so damn amazing that we humans have organized, self-selected, self-organized ourselves. You ever think about that? How the seed is cast, and you've got some people who grew up to be brain surgeons, and some lawyers, and some police, and farmers, and murderers, child rapists, pedophiles, you name it, across the board. And we have to. This is our survival. As a species, this is how we work, how we have gotten here, through this range of possibilities. And it's designed so that we can live in high-rise apartment buildings with running water and electricity and plasma TV screens and air conditioning because of the specialization that we have done as a species. It's just so amazing. And it stuns me that people don't think about that every single day of their lives. Like, there should be a holy fuck factor every single day. You should just stop whatever you're doing, look around, and say, holy fuck. You know, I can't believe this. Holy fuck. Yeah, that's just a given, you know, and yet people don't. We act like it's normal. That was the thread of the conversation. I was telling this person, can't remember who. Yes, now I remember. Lovely lady. Part Japanese, part Norwegian. And this was at the Canada-Japan Society event, which I think there are podcasters out there in Toronto who would actually enjoy coming to. You're going to meet a very interesting range of characters. I am serious about doing some events, at our Ichimokukais. I guess maybe we'll start up in the fall. I'll make it that any podcaster gets in free. And man, you're going to have an interesting evening of conversation. But get in touch with me about that, would you? Now, yeah, this idea of the specialization. And of course, that allows for people like myself who somehow don't quite fit in. And yet, you know, where am I? I'm sort of used to think I'd be on the artist community, but I never have been. I've never produced art other than the Dixon Jane Show, but now I find out that everybody's a fucking A-lister, so nothing special about this one. Anyway, that where were we before that? You know, A-listers, tom-toms, H2s, specialization, and these fucking ants. Indian burial grounds, well, all of the above. Ah, holy fuck, yeah. Anyway, it's winding down, and I don't know what else there is to give you, to share with you. It's been a pleasure. I think maybe we'll just wind this up. I'm still in deep shit. I've still got work to do before my students arrive here, July 21st. You know, I've got to have homes for them. I need 3 more host families. It's not something I put out or advertise. It's all word of mouth. I've got to be ever so careful. But when they get here, you know, somehow it will have all come together. Each year I seem to leave it a little later. I take a little more risk. And I think it's because I only seem to function under a great deal of stimulation. That's why I like having a toot once in a while. That's why I get bored very easy. That's why I'm constantly in need of change and stimulation. It's just the way I'm wired. And if there isn't that rush, I just can't do it. And therefore, I realize now, no, I never would have lasted at any regular office job or standard career. It just would not have worked for me. So I pay my dues and count my blessings and figure I've been able to get away with it this long. Let's see what the future holds. You know, will I be a wandering pilgrim? I don't know. Like that image, though. Conclusion, yeah. Oh, damn, there was one more thing. Toys, yeah, it was around toys. Oh, pause, hang on. Yeah, it only took me a second. That pause was only a split second, so don't think I'm losing it, folks. Bento. Now, we're not talking about Obento, the Japanese box lunch. We're talking about Bento, the program by FileMaker. Do you remember, those of you, long-term listeners, yes, in the graduate course, that I've been looking forever for some sort of a database management thing that would help me coordinate all the things I have to do with my students, my host families, my data, information about them, addresses, emails. How do I do it without just some sort of standard address book? I've got to get that information talking to each other. And I have FileMaker Pro. I never took any courses. It's high-end. I was talked into it. It was always beyond me, and it just, you know, there's a high learning curve. You'd really have to spend a lot of time working just on it to get it to do what you wanted. I just don't have the brains, the patience, the time. But Bento comes complete with these templates, and it's been the perfect solution. I was able to yesterday put in related fields. So I've got my host families. Bam, put in little box related fields. What are you relating to? I'm relating it to the student file. Boom, that's got all the data. Which student can be in a house with pets? Which cannot be in a house with pets? Which student can swim well enough if the family owns a pool in the backyard? Match that up with the family. So it's absolutely beautiful. It's just what I wanted. It was only $50, bento by FileMaker. The trick was you had to have, what is it, leopard, the latest, tiger, lion-hearted, I don't know, 10.5 on the Mac. You had to have the latest operating system. About this Mac, 10.5, 4, whatever that is, in order for this to run. It only worked on the newest system. So I had to go out and spend $129 to get the upgrade. But this was after my hard drive died. So let's go full circle here. Hard drive died. I lost a lot more than I realized. Like, I lost all my email because I had not left it on the server. There's a little button, folks, if you know, leave it on the server. I didn't. I unchecked that box stupidly. I lost all my contracts. Years worth of exchanges with schools, with companies, priceless data, it's gone. I had never backed it up and I didn't leave it on the server. That hurts. I lost a lot of photos, images, random images that I just collected over the years. Gone. So I've lost a lot, but what the hell? You move on. I'm now using Time Machine that comes with this new operating system. That's going to help me out a lot. And it's all good in the end. The one nice thing was I lost all my podcast subscriptions. I resubscribed and I listened to Julian again from In Over Your Head from way, way, way back in February when he said, I'm still here. What a great show that was. And it inspired me to get in touch with that other A+. To get in touch with Julian sometime and hope to meet him at the Montreal PodCamp. PodCamp Montreal. Looking forward to that. All right. Bye now. Hey, come back, will you? I'll be back next week. Honest. I mean, I'm going to start a new podcast tomorrow, so stick around. Come back. Stay subscribed. Bye now.